Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is Claiborne Benson. He is the founder and curator of Wisconsin's Black Historical Society. And I'm glad you guys have joined us this morning as we go on this journey. You know, Claiborne, voting, we're in 30 days or less. A huge election is taking place in our state, as it is all over this nation, and so you wonder what role voting played in all of these things, and where Black people and our right to vote came into play. It wasn't something that came automatically to us when we were free, did it?
No, it did not. In fact, the first person to vote was Joe Oliver. Joe Oliver is an African-American who comes here, and he is a servant of our mayor, Solomon Juneau. And he is being granted a favor by a Waukesha man to vote, and so he takes that opportunity to vote. But it really comes down to all of the citizens, and we're not talking about a lot of people in Wisconsin or in the Milwaukee area having a lot of African Americans being there, but those that lived there wanted to have the right to vote. And so the question is, when our founding fathers wrote the bylaws for the state's history and the state's constitution in 1846, the first version of the state's bylaws included African Americans having the right to vote, 1846. And it was put up as a referendum for the state to vote on the Constitution and whether or not the state would be a state and accept all of the bylaws that existed. And that 46th version, African American men had the right to vote. Well, those living in the western part of the state said no to that. And those living in the eastern part of the state said yes to it. And the ones in the west won the outcome. So Wisconsin did not become a state in 46 as it had planned and wanted. It went back to the drawing board and came up with another interpretation of the state's constitution. And 48, it passed, with African Americans being taken out. Now, you asked a question earlier, what was the difference between women's rights? White women's rights was one of the things, and African Americans having the right to vote was another one of the major issues that prevented the state's constitution from having the right to for that 46th version passed. And thus, we became a state in 48 with African Americans taken out of the equation for having that. Now, the 48 version passed, and African Americans, those that existed here at that time, there's not a lot of us here at that time, demanded that there be a recount or a referendum vote in 1849. You've heard recently there's been discussion about the 49 outcome. Abortion was one of the things in there, women's rights were one of the things, and African Americans having the right to vote was embodied in that 49 referendum vote. Just to get a sense of what people wanted to actually happen, African Americans were in that mix and said the outcome of that was that African Americans should not have the right to vote. That's what the authorities shared with us. We didn't count it, but it didn't. They clearly said we did not have the right to vote. I can't comment on the other issues. I can say that African Americans accepted the fact that they could not right to vote. And so there was a man by the name of Ezekiel Gillespie, and the in 1860s, early 1860s, he gets in a brawl in a barbershop. He's saying that African Americans have served this this country in the Civil War. We should have the right to vote. And so he gathers the support of Sherman Booth, and they both go to court. They sue the state of Wisconsin in that fight to have the right to vote. And it goes to the state Supreme Court. And that's pretty significant. And the state Supreme Court says, we're going to review this. We're going to decide whether or not African American, not based on what the public says, but based on what happens in the 1849 referendum vote. We're going to first count those numbers ourselves. And after they tally all of the numbers from the referendum vote of 49, they said that the report of the calculations were false, were wrong. Whoever calculated this, who gave the report on this, lied and did not. And I'm using the word harshly. I'm not saying if you ask me, I'm bitter about it. But they acted as if they could not count. And African Americans in 49 gained the right to vote. According to the United States Supreme Court, and it's in Madison, you don't have to believe me. It's in Madison. The state Supreme Court ruled that those who calculated the vote falsified the results, and African Americans had the right to vote as early as 1849. Thus, we gained the right to vote in 1866 after long court actions with the help of Sherman Booth and Ezekiel Gillespie, who goes on to found St. Mark's AME Church on 16th and Atkinson.
And I'm sure even then, Claiborne, even though that law was passed, it still took some time for those votes to actually count. I'm sure there were people who certainly didn't accept it with open arms. I mean, poll workers and others.
It's a sacred right to have the right to vote. If we're citizens in this country, and we were in 1866, and the Wisconsin citizens saw us as equal citizens in 49, we should have the right to vote too. And so thus, we went through the 50s, demonstrations and marches, and there were many. We had people like Frederick Douglass coming to Wisconsin and insisting on African Americans having the right to vote. So it didn't just die in 49. In the 50s, 1850s, there is many civil rights activities, conferences, demonstrations all throughout the streets in Milwaukee. On the east side of the river, there's lots going over those periods of time, and it culminates in the 1866 outcome of the Supreme Court's decision that we had. Not only do we have the right to vote, we had the right to vote as early as 49.
Let me ask you when.
And before you ask me this question. Even in contemporary times, that they are very sensitive about how they report that. They said a mistake. They said somebody did something wrong. But they never say that indeed this is intended to prevent us from having the right to vote.
You know, as you lay out that history lesson to all of us, and with the passion and compassion that you have, and then you look today, and it's almost as if there are people still.
Oh yes,
you know. Still
I said
today,
yes before I heard what you said.
Still today, yes. Doing everything within their power
to prevent us from voting.
Yeah,
even our own selves not coming out to vote, and people are paid in blood to have the right to vote.
Yeah, it is so frustrating. Yeah. When you know had that not taken place,
yes,
we probably wouldn't even be where we are now.
That's right.
So, you know, that history lesson is critically important to everybody, mm-hmm. as we approach the elections coming up.
Yeah, it is. It's very much so. Folks, people have paid the price. And this picture here that I'm going to hold up right now for those on YouTube is a picture of Gillespie going to vote, and he's denied that right to vote in the early 1860s. And it's him getting with Sherman Booth to actually sue the state of Wisconsin for having the right to vote.
Can you imagine the courage it took in the 1860s, for an individual to demand at that time?
And also the demonstrations that occurred throughout the streets in the 1850s. All of that was very serious. And people from all over the state of Wisconsin, African Americans primarily, but many whites met in Milwaukee and demonstrated on whether or not we should have the right to vote. So, yes. There were a lot going on in that period of time.
You know, phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. If you're just joining us, my guest is Claiborne Benson. He's the curator and founder of Wisconsin's Black Historical Society. Claiborne.
Thank you. I wanted to talk a little bit about Marshall Clark. Have you heard that name before?
Marshall Clark?
Marshall Clark.
No.
So Marshall Clark in Forest Home was just renamed. They put a headstone onto his Forest Home Cemetery.
In Milwaukee.
So, yes. So Marshall Clark is a teenager, and he is in, and this would fit under the story of we don't want to abolish history completely because this includes African Americans. So the Irish community is, Abraham Lincoln is upset. Our governor is upset because, and the state is upset because Glover is broken out of jail. And the governor of the state of Wisconsin insists on activating the National Guard or getting the National Guard. They're being threatened by the federal government because the state of Wisconsin is violating the law in general. And so the Irish community makes their way down. The Irish community weapons. I got to go now. I know.
Yeah, we got to go to a break.
Yeah.
So, I'm glad you noticed that. Got to go to a break. I see you, Tom. Our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. We'll be right back. Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest once again is Claiborne Benson, the founder and curator of Wisconsin's Black Historical Society. Let's go to the phone lines quickly. Tom from LA. Hey, Tom, good morning to you. How you doing? What do you say?
Good morning, Earl. First off, I'd like to say we the people are the government, and we must never forget that, ultimately. Second, I just want to say, Claiborne, you are an absolute treasure.
Well, thank you
so much. I studied Wisconsin history when I was in high school, but I never got the education like I'm getting right now. I learned all the county seats and the counties. This is such a breath of fresh air.
Thank you.
And it actually makes me proud to be a Wisconsinite when I hear these different things. I hope other people feel that same way. And I hope everybody gets out and votes and start voting now, because you can vote now. And, vote blue right now in 22. So thank you very, very much, Claiborne, for everything. And thanks for the education. I could listen to you all day long. So I hope that you're putting this somewhere on audio, so we have this for even history.
Well, you know, we do, Tom. It'll be up on the site early this afternoon.
I'm just talking about Earl, I'm just talking about everything because this man is like got so much in him that every person needs to hear it.
Well, you know, that's why I brought him. And again,
I know. Thank you, Earl.
Well, you know, his museum is speaks volumes. So. Thank you very much for the call, Tom. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tom.
So Claiborne, where are we going now?
So I was talking about Marshall Clark, and I won't be long with that, but that was so important to this community. And here we are. Marshall Clark is lynched in downtown Milwaukee. And the story really lends to the fact that, the picture, yeah. Good. The story right lends to the fact that the Irish community view, the federal government and many white citizens are upset because the position that the state of Wisconsin takes on the Glover issue. Wisconsin really violates the federal government's rules. Everybody was set with the Great Compromise of 1850, and Wisconsin violates that. And the federal government is saying, you can't do that and get away with it. And they threaten the state of Wisconsin. And the governor is sort of afraid. He does not activate, but he sends out a warning to all of the National Guard folks. Be prepared, because we may call on you to defend this state. And there is one group in Milwaukee County, the Third Ward, the National Guard and the Irish community, that say we won't react to the state's warning. We see ourselves as a federal institution, a federal body of men in the National Guard, although that's different today. And we will obey the federal constitution as it we see it. And so the state government, Rufus King is the commander at that time, Rufus King High School. Rufus King is ordered to go and take the weapons from the Irish Battalion. It's about 350 of them. Take their weapons away and take them, make them not a National Guard unit anymore. And so the Irish community and that National Guard unit says, we're not going to take this land down. We're going to go to Chicago through a fundraiser, and we're going to raise the necessary money to purchase our weapons back, or on our own separate weapons. And they do so. On the way down, they have a good time. There, they have a good time. Coming back, they collide with another ship. And that ship, and they sink. Their ships sink, and we're saying that there's at least 350 or more Irishmen that lose their lives. There was not a dry eye in the Third Ward. The Irish community was just devastated over the fact that they lost their sons and their fathers, and many women in that venture. And so so that they're just devastated over that fact. And so when Marshall Clark and Sheldon, a young man, is dating two white women in the Third Ward, and Sheldon somehow stabs two Irishmen in the Third Ward. For whatever reason, of course, there's an argument ensued, and the two Irishmen get stabbed, and they die. Both of those men are arrested and put in jail, and an Irish community comes up to the courthouse, the same courthouse that Glover is in, breaks him out of jail, and they... Sheldon gets away. Sheldon hides out. What city? Waukesha. Hides out in Waukesha, and he stays on a black farmer's farm here in Waukesha, and Clark is lynched. And he was not lynched right away, but over a period of a couple hours, he's actually lynched in Milwaukee, and thus he's buried in Forest Home with no marker. And recently, in the last 2 years, they found his death and they actually put a headstone on him.
All right, listen, we've got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. For some of you who might say Black History Month is already over, what would you say to that, Claiborne?
It's not over. It's every day. It's every day, and it's the beginning and the end. For me, it is all the time. I'm constantly learning about myself and my roots. And that's something that I have taken the time to learn about who I am.
And again, for those of you who are just joining us, Claiborne Benson is the curator and founder of Wisconsin's Black Historical Society in the city of Milwaukee.
My next subject is William T. Green. William T. Green is a young lawyer, graduated. He worked at the Plankinton Hotel as a bellhop. After working under Mr. Miles. Mr. Miles is a Civil War veteran. Miles brings him on and encourages him to go on to become a lawyer. He graduates from the University of Wisconsin. He's the first African-American to graduate from the law school in Madison. He works as a janitor at the State Historical Society, and he takes on a case.
Before he became an attorney or after he became?
Before he becomes an attorney, right. As a janitor.
Wow.
And he in Milwaukee. Now, those lawyers worked all over the state of Wisconsin in various locations. So they didn't just work in Milwaukee County. And there are more lawyers that comes in place after the turn of the century. But we're talking about before the turn of the century. He takes on a case for Mr. Howe. Mr. Howe is a businessman, a successful businessman in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And he gets two tickets to the theater. He goes there. And his tickets were for the lower area, the nice seats, and the usher insists on him sitting in the balcony where the colored people sat at, and so thus he sues the theater, and William T. Green takes the case on. They win the case, and William T. Green makes a decision that he's going to make this a state law, and he's able to get the legislators to put it into the state, and it passes in 1895. He hides it in the state bill. It's clearly not on the front page, and right. It's not publicized in a way which would bring attention to it. But nonetheless, it does pass, and it's a public accommodation bill. It does not say that I'm going to that people would be put in jail for discriminating against it. But it clearly says that any African American or any ethnic person or any even a white person coming into a black business has equal rights to access to that business if it's a public institution, has equal access to that business. I could not close my door to a white person based on this law, nor could a white business owner close their doors to a black person coming in to do business in stores. So thus, the public accommodation bill is passed, and thus he is successful in doing that.
So if you follow that reasoning, those bills have been passed in different states. the public accommodation bills prior to this is something that was starting to happen.
I would say so, but I don't know for sure.
Okay.
My area of expertise has to do with
Wisconsin.
Right. I'd say that I'm not going to pronounce this correctly, but the right for African Americans to have the right to marry white women was his next goal and objective. That was not passed. But a lot of that was occurring. A lot of white men were bringing enslaved people and free people to marry. And white and black women wanted to be able to live in the North and comfortably, and so and come up here to be domestic work. So at the turn of the century, there are more white black women in Wisconsin than there are black men, and they wanted mates. And the law, as he was trying to get passed, and was not successful, would allow interracial marriage going on.
You know, the picture you're painting, Claiborne, and why history is so valuable is that all of those things, all of the things that we take for granted,
yeah,
somebody fought for.
Yeah, they did, very much so.
Yeah.
Very much so. So, and it's very important. Now, our time is running out a little bit, so but I wanted to bring to you some of my favorites, if I could.
Okay, go ahead.
And do you know this woman at all? Her name is Miss Bernice Lindsay.
No.
Miss Bernice Lindsay, and she didn't want you to know who she was. But if you wanted to know somebody who really accomplished things, it's Miss Bernice Lindsay. Miss Bernice Lindsay came here at the turn of the century. She marries her husband. She's from Ohio, first to graduate from the Ohio State University in the School of Journalism, and became a social worker in Wisconsin. Miss Bernice Lindsay never worked a full-time job. Her husband was on the board of Columbia Savings and Loan, and worked in a factory. And Miss Lindsay worked at the YWCA. First, the white YWCA, and was fired from that before because she recognized discrimination and she fought against it. The YWCAs had housing projects next to their offices. The black YWCA had that, and so did the white YMCA. For women who were pregnant, women who had difficult times, could not make it, the YWCAs had probably five or six houses, duplexes, next to their offices, and they would house these women in those houses till they got on their feet and allowed them to move out. And so Mrs. Lindsay, first in the 1939, bought a block of land, some 30 acres of land on 47th and Stock, just north of Hampton, 47th and Hampton. She bought about from the city of Milwaukee for no more than taxes, and she cleared that land out and encouraged returning veterans, black veterans, to create a subdivision in the north side of Milwaukee. She did it invisibly, and she didn't make it so expensive that they couldn't afford it. And they came home and they settled in those houses. Mrs. Lindsay goes on to work. We talk about Walnut Street, how special Walnut Street was. That was because of Mrs. Lindsay. Mrs. Lindsay partnered with the YMCA and the YWCA and created activities of all, from swimming to clubs to chess things, to youth activities. Mrs. Lindsay put entertainment on the docket for African Americans living in the Walnut Street area. She made, when people talk about it with tears out of their eyes, it's Mrs. Lindsay that gave. Mrs. Lindsay and the Johnsons, C.L. and Cleopatra Johnson, that made entertainment and the life on Walnut Street pleasant. It's Mrs. Lindsay. Mrs. Lindsay recognized that housing was such a huge problem for African Americans living in Milwaukee, because they lived in that Walnut Street area and the housing was horrible. Mrs. Lindsay asked the city to build to build housing, public housing, for African Americans to live in. They refused, and so thus she built a housing project over on 4th and Reservoir, just north of Reservoir. There's a housing project there. It's called the Carter Housing Project, named after Carter G. Woodson. She built that housing project. I think there may be 20 apartments in it, but the idea was to create an environment that to show that the city was not the only person who could build a housing project. She did so much for this community. She started the Inner City Arts Council. She started the Carter. She started the there is a theater over on Tetonia Creative Center. She started that with no more than the money she had to sell her house. She did so much. Now, there's a street named in her honor. In fact, it's the first street named.
Oh, Lindsay Heights?
Lindsay Heights is the neighborhood designed in her honor.
Okay.
But there's a street named it. 9th and North Avenue. Lindsay Street is named in her honor. Right across the street from the McDonald's right there.
Right, I know exactly where it is.
It's named in her honor. Mrs. Lindsay was one terrific woman and made a difference in Milwaukee.
You know what, so...
Oh, I'll shut up. She's invited to Washington, D.C. to meet and discuss women issues with President Kennedy. She takes initiative and takes a group of women to the Congo to meet with the president of Congo. She...
You know, Claiborne, the history of people who were, you know, considered nondescript.
Yes.
When you look at the overall, you know, ledger of the national history, mm-hmm. and local history sometimes. Mm-hmm. You know, Milwaukee is rich.
Milwaukee
in
is
that.
Rich.
And so people who don't live in Milwaukee don't have any concept at all about, you know, these what these great people did.
So my second woman of importance is Mrs. Audie Halyard. Now we know her having the oldest African American business in the city of Milwaukee, in the state of Wisconsin, Columbia Savings and Loan.
Right.
She comes here, by the way, of Georgia after graduating from college, and her family settles in the Chicago, Beloit area, and she moves to Milwaukee. She starts Columbia Savings and Loan. She tries to get the governor, she tries to get the mayor to build a housing project. And the mayor refuses to do so, and she eventually finances the housing project over on 6th and
now it's named Halyard Park.
She finances all of those homes, Mrs. Lindsay.
Really,
she financed all of those housing projects. Maybe one or two she didn't, because the people chose to get a better deal somewhere else.
Right.
But she guaranteed
all because
the
of the savings and loan.
That's
Columbia
right.
Savings and Loan.
That's right.
Right.
She financed those houses. Those houses existed because of her.
You know, when you know that development, Claiborne, I remember. I don't know what the first one that they put up. How long ago was that now?
Oh, we're talking mid 70s.
Yeah,
mid 70s is when they
and those were upscale.
That's right, a ranch style,
yeah.
suburban kind of style homes. Yes.
Yeah, and to their credit, they've been well maintained.
That's
They're
right.
still there now.
They are.
And so that, you know. Upscale people live there.
Yes.
Very you know,
much so.
Yeah. They couldn't live maybe in the suburbs, or they didn't want to live in the suburbs.
Yeah.
But they certainly had the resources that they could have, but they were able to have that kind of living right there.
That's right.
In our community.
And they still live there. There are a few white citizens moving in that area, but again, they're financed by African Americans.
You know, Columbia Savings and Loan.
Yes.
Because you couldn't do any of those things without that. I mean, back in the, it was hard you know, First Wisconsin and the traditional banks,
they didn't want to
weren't fund. Very accommodating.
That's right. And so that she showed African Americans or the citizens that that African Americans could own a house and pay their notes.
Yeah, because these major banks would not do it.
That's right.
And the amazing thing and frustrating thing was, at that time, blacks had the resources because industry was here.
That's right.
And they made money in these major factories.
That's true.
And so the fact that they said no to banks was really
that's
just
right.
telling, right?
That's
I mean,
right.
they were able to, and that's why they were able, Columbia Savings and Loan, to
that's
do that.
Right.
Got to go to a break. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest has been Claiborne Benson, the curator and founder of Wisconsin Black Historical Society. And let me say this before we continue. You know, Claiborne, been to your museum many times, but that's something you see with the naked eye. Many of the props that you have in the museum. But this history lesson connects me more to the city that I'm born in and going to die in,
mm-hmm.
more than anything,
sure.
anywhere. Nobody else has that.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of information, and as I said to you, with my organization that I started several months back, Voices of the Elders, and all these children that we have, we're going to bring them through,
mm-hmm.
because they need to. I mean, can you imagine? Had I had this information when I'm 10, 11, 12, 13 years old, I'd see life in a different manner.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I learned some things about black history in school just a little bit, because when I was in high school and at Washington High School, and MPS wasn't teaching black history. They just weren't. Not where I was.
Mm-hmm.
And so you really missed out
mm-hmm.
on all that. Whatever black history I got, I had to learn it on my own when I became an adult.
Well, most people don't see themselves in history, and that's the key. Because I can bring this to 100 kids in front of me and try to talk with them. But the key piece here is I first had to find me.
Right.
I had to find how I fit into history through my father, mother, grandparents, and great-grandparents, from where I came to
right.
really see how I fit into this bigger picture. I'm able to chronologize and talk about these little stories through understanding my own history. And that is a key. And so I did the genealogy piece, and I was able to go back to 1810 and see my ancestors come over on a ship and settle in South Carolina and the kind of work and find them on the records
right.
Of South Carolina. I'm able to do that, and the journeys that they went into, even meet some of the white ancestors who enslaved my folks. Both we were owned by the Howells and then owned by the Bensons. Got to meet them all. So I'm able to see mentally and visually my own journey from there to here.
You know, Claiborne, even in the city.
Kids need that opportunity, too.
Well,
and I don't mean to interrupt you.
No, no.
But kids need to know how to do that.
There's no question about it. And the more you mention those names, that I knew the names and the businesses, I didn't know any connection with the history of it,
mm-hmm.
Because that was my parents' time. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, during that time here in Milwaukee, they knew about those facilities and all those kinds of things, but I didn't. You know, I knew the facilities were there, but I didn't know the history behind it. Mm-hmm. Once you learn the history behind it, it makes you want to know even more.
Yeah, it does.
Right? Because those people were pioneers. You want to talk about pioneers, they were pioneers.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, they were.
They made it possible for people who we look at now as successful business people in our communities, and we give them all this praise for everything they did.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they stood on the shoulders.
Yes. Very much
of some folk who didn't get that. And right. So the fact that you now can at least, you can now at least say in perpetuity, put those people where they belong,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the fact that you have that history on them,
right.
They'll always be remembered.
Right, very much so.
You know, and not everybody's, you know, the thing about history is a lot of people who live and a lot of people who die, but there's only a handful
mm-hmm.
that make history
mm-hmm.
where they'll live on in perpetuity.
Mm-hmm. Very much so. I mean, folks can make contributions in many forms. If you just looked at those people who worked at A. O. Smith and Alan Bradley and Alice Chalmers, many of those people came up from the South not having anything and got good jobs working at these factories. Some of them went on to do great things, like Mr. Bill Moseley, who could not read or write, could not drive a car, controlled the longshore dock through being a union president, and traveled all over the world and encourage others to become successful people. He did that on his own, but then there were others who their second generation became lawyers and doctors. All through those factories
so,
that you're
Claiborne,
talking
before
about.
We run out of time,
yes.
For people who are listening, if they wanted to get in contact with you, because he does, you can actually visit the museum, you can actually
yes.
go through the museum. How do they contact you?
So we are Wisconsin Black Historic Society. We are celebrating our 35th year in existence, and the telephone number is 312-414-372-7677. I'll repeat that, 414-372-7677. And we're located at 2620 West Center. That's on the corner of 27th and Center in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. That is where we are. And my name is Claiborne, Claiborn, Benson, Benson.
And you actually... People can bring groups.
Yes.
And then you not only walk them through the museum, but you do these kinds of things where you explain the history.
We do. And we collect artifacts. On any given day, we have boxes of materials right outside of our door, people donating artifacts that they think that needs to be preserved. And we collect those artifacts as well as we do tours, walk-in tours, registered tours. Just call that number, 414-372-7677. We have a website, WBHSM.org. WBHSM.org.
All right. I want to thank you for your time,
thank
Claiborne.
You.
And really, I learned a lot myself today.
Thank you.
I really appreciate it. And I'm sure many of the listening audience did. But we got to go. We'll do it again. I promise you.
Thank you.
Got to go to a break. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. Be right back.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you.